Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Egyptian officials say the country's tourism industry is recovering. But officials say historical sites and other travel business are not profitable enough to fix the country's economy. We will have that story later in the program. But first, representatives from almost 200 countries are meeting in Lima, Peru, for talks on a new United Nations climate treaty. The new treaty would replace the Kyoto Protocol, the international agreement that ended in 2012. As we hear from Katie Weaver, delegates in Lima are preparing for a meeting next year when they will try to reach a final agreement.
Scientists say the world is on its way toward a temperature increase of 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. Temperatures have already risen by almost 1 degree Celsius. Greenhouse gas releases, or emissions, are blamed for the rising temperatures. The gases are created by burning fossil fuels, like coal and petroleum. The meeting in Lima ended December 12th. The delegates discussed ways to control and reduce those emissions. The talks opened with a sense of hope for a deal. Last month, the United States agreed to cut emissions by 26 to 28% below 2005 levels. At the same time, China said its emissions would stop rising by about 2030. China and the U.S. are the world's top climate polluters. Jennifer Morgan is the global director of the climate program at the World Resources Institute. She notes recent signs of progress toward a climate deal, like the UN climate meeting in New York City in September that brought together heads of state and industry leaders. It also led to demonstrations of about 700,000 people in New York and other cities to demand action on climate change. Jennifer Morgan explains what happened next.
European heads of state in October saying, here's our offer to reduce at least 40% emissions. And then the U.S.-China announcement recently, where those two countries came forward in a pretty historic announcement of what they're willing to do on their numbers and their willingness to work together.
Ms. Morgan says the move could energize other nations to do more.
If you look at developed countries, it's fair to say that Australia or Canada haven't indicated when they are going to table their offer. Well, if China can offer something, certainly they can offer something too.
She says some developing nations, like India and Brazil, may also feel challenged to act. Rajendra Pachauri is the head of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. On the opening day of the talks, he told representatives in Lima that the window for action is rapidly closing. Ms. Morgan says she hopes the meeting in Lima will end with a proposal for a new treaty that will guide negotiators and lead governments to act. I'm Katie Weaver.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. Officials in Egypt say the country's tourist industry appears to be recovering after years of unrest. Egypt enjoyed a huge increase in visitors during summer and early autumn, but observers say continued insecurity makes tourism undependable and not profitable enough to cure the country's weak economy. Jerry Watson has more.
Sharm el-Sheikh is a historic resort town on the Sinai Peninsula. Foreign tourists often travel to Sharm el-Sheikh to see the Red Sea, but they see none of the insecurity that sometimes puts the town's name in the news. Egyptian officials say they hope that by next year, tourism will return to its pre-2011 level. At that time, the industry earned more than $12 billion in a year. Tourism Minister Hisham Zazu says the hope and challenge is to report a major return to profitability in the first part of the year. But some observers say this may prove difficult. They say the industry depends on international public opinion of Egypt's safety in a time of continued unrest. Sami Barodi teaches political science at Lebanese American University. He says Egypt needs more economic diversity and to reduce its dependence on travelers.
Tourism is a very important but volatile sector. So you cannot pin your economic strategy on a sector that one or two bombings or one or two, basically, assassinations may impact adversely.
He says that for Egypt to escape widespread crushing poverty, the country needs to invest in industry and export goods. But he adds that unlike the export business, Egypt's tourism industry already has the infrastructure and expertise that it needs.
So we have to bear in mind all the investments that have been done in the tourism sector, all the jobs in Egypt that are tied to tourism, and you know the government cannot but give high priority to this sector.
3 years of political upset have led two Egyptian governments to collapse. And economists say even if the government succeeds in getting tourists to return, it will still need to depend heavily on foreign aid. Marwan Iskander is an economist in Lebanon.
It's not enough to help Egypt to take off because the events that took place from 2011 till 2013 had hindered the growth of the economy significantly.
At this time, protests and clashes in Egypt continue. They threaten to affect some of the recent successes in the tourism industry. But Marwan Iskander says new markets are opening up. He notes a large increase in the number of Russians visiting Egypt in recent years. And tour guides say insecurity, like the Nile River, will prove long-lasting. I'm Jerry Watson.
And that's our program for today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. And visit our website for even more Learning English programs. learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.